Well, today is beginning August, so I am going to be beginning a new series, a series that we are doing that's called Reroute, considering all the ways that maybe our journeys of faith need some adjusting. And that happens from time to time. It happens from time to time that we find those adjustments that take place. In fact, we often find that life doesn't always give us what we would predictably plan on. In fact, we can even see examples of this in Scripture. Consider this, that comes from the wisdom writer in Ecclesiastes, where he writes this in Ecclesiastes 9. The race is not always to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. We see some of these examples then, examples of when life throws a detour in the way. When perhaps we have to think about rerouting the journey that we're on. And this happens to all of us. It happens to all of us in some ways. For example, my own life back in 2015 was rerouted when cancer came along, with things like radiation and chemo and surgeries and recovery. A reroute that I did not plan on having to do. But you know what? It's not always then a struggle or hardship either. Consider that. That maybe a reroute comes in receiving that college acceptance letter that you never thought you would get into that school, but now you can reroute plans for that. Or maybe it's a promotion at work or a raise or something that, or the business has a good year and there are financial blessings, and so your financial goals are rerouted a little bit. It's not always a bad thing. Sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes it may be trivial or insignificant. Sometimes it may be huge and it takes over our entire lives. But the point is this, that it happens to all of us. All of us face moments in our lives where we need to, at some point, adjust the course of how we're living and where we're going. We need to reroute along the way. The question comes then, does that ever work with our faith as well? Is the direction of our faith ever put in a place where we are rerouted? I don't mean rerouted away from God, but maybe the direction that we're taking to live that faith out is rerouted in a way that brings us closer to God. And maybe we didn't see that coming. Maybe sometimes it's a struggle or a hardship. Maybe it comes as a blessing. But just like it happens in so many other areas of life, do we ever consider the moments when maybe our life of faith finds that reroute as well? As it turns out, the Bible is full of stories like that, full of examples of people who have had their life of faith, what it means for them to follow God and express that out in the way they live, have found examples where that had to be rerouted. So absolutely, we consider those things. Today, then, I'm beginning with this story. This comes from the Gospel of Luke, and it's a familiar story that Jesus tells. This is the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus says this. In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have had.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." A story of rerouting, what it means to reroute our journey of faith and what that looks like. There has been a lot that's been written and said about this story of the Good Samaritan. In fact, it's a well-known story, a story that maybe we've heard before many times. And in fact, maybe we've heard sermons preached on this story many times. But today in particular, I want us to focus our attention on one detail in particular that comes from this story. There's so much good that can be pulled from this story of the Good Samaritan, so much good instruction that Jesus has there for us. Today, I want us to focus on one detail in particular that comes from this story. And it happens to be those first two travelers who come along the road as they're making that way to Jericho. Those first two travelers who pass by the man who had been robbed and beaten, the priest and the Levite. Let's spend some time just considering that moment in this parable and not overlook that and go to the part that we all know so well about the Samaritan who takes care of him. But let's think for a few moments today about that priest and that Levite and what it meant for them to come to that place in this story, to pass on by, and how that works out is something that maybe connects with us in ways that we've overlooked before as well. So, the priest and the Levite, understanding something about who priests and Levites are. Well, priests and Levites are the people who work in the temple. They are the people who are in charge of all of the religious worship that the people of Israel express. And all of that is laid out in the Old Testament, right? The sacrifices that they have to bring and the offerings that are required and all of the ways that the temple is set up. And there's all these rules in there about how they have to be ceremonially clean and pure through all these washings and the things they wear. Those are the things that the priests and the Levites did. The priests were the ones who actually did this work in the temple on behalf of all the people. But we should remember that priests themselves all come from the tribe of Levi. They're all Levites. So any of the others from the tribe of Levi, the tribe of Levi, who were not specifically assigned the role of a priest, those other Levites all had supporting roles to do. They were all helpers in that process of bringing the religious worship of the Israelite people to God. It was all their job. So they had a task that was given to them, a task that was a priority for them laid out in the Old Testament, particularly if you look at those five books of Moses at the beginning of the Bible. The book of Leviticus talks about all of these things that the Levites and the priests had to do as the ones who carried all of the worship that the people would give to God on their behalf, all the ways they set that up, all the ways they carried that out. So they had this job to do, a job that was not a bad job. It was a job given to them by God. And they would carry that out then in ways that, on behalf of the people, would allow them to come and worship before God. These are the first two people that come along the side of the road in the story that Jesus tells, the priest and the Levite. And they keep going. They pass on by. Before we get a little further in that story, though, and we just pause on this moment of considering the priest and the Levite and what that means, you know, I should note in this story that these were, I guess if we were to put it in a modern equivalent of that, these were church people, right? The priest, the one who was in charge of making sure that worship was conducted well and that happened and that did that on behalf of all the people, that's kind of like the equivalent of what I do here, right? The pastor. Or the Levites, all the supporting people, all those volunteers, the musicians and the praise team and the nursery attendants and the Sunday school teachers and all of those people who do all of those various little things as a part of a church to help it come together and to do its ministry. All of those people who are a part of making sure that those things happen week after week. That's what the priests and the Levites did. That's kind of a role that, well, so many of us do as well. Many of us who are connected with this church, that we're involved and we volunteer and we do things in some ways. We're a part of the ministry here. We're a part of that gathering that comes week after week to be a part of that ministry. We know that because it's part of that ministry that for so many of us we're missing right now, and we miss it a lot because that has been such an important part of our lives, an important part of who we are and the rituals that we do and what it means for us to express how our faith takes shape in our lives through those weekly things that we do. You see, I think we need to admit that we have a lot in common with these priests and these Levites, more so than anyone else in the story. You see, it kind of goes that the plot line is laid out through the man who travels and then is beaten and robbed. So you've got the man who was beaten and robbed. You've got the robbers and the thieves, but those people are just there to set up the plot. The real point of the story for Jesus comes in these three people who travel on by. The priest and the Levite, who kind of come together, and they move on by. And the Samaritan. I think often we want to jump ahead and we want to say, yes, we want to be like the Samaritan. We want to be like that person who helped. That's the instruction of the story, after all, right? That Jesus puts that out before us. But I think we need to admit that our place in the story, the characters to whom we most closely align and overlap, are the priest and the Levite, not the Samaritan. Because the Samaritan was the outcast. The Samaritan was the person who says, you are not a part of this religious community. You have nothing to do at all with this religious community. In fact, you have no place here among us in the religious community. The Samaritan was the outsider, apart from the church. We need to confess that if we're going to read this story and read it correctly for a message that comes to us, that we need to know that, yeah, we are the priest and the Levite. We are those people who make our habit of expression of faith, that week-to-week expression that comes to church. We know that because we miss that so much right now. So the priest and the Levite are church people that made sure those things took place, just like maybe we often do. So maybe we need to ask the question then today, how those things overlap. What are the parallels that take place there? The parallels in the ways that these priests and Levites expressed their faith and how we express our faith. How does that show up in a story like this? Consider this then, that maybe if I need to, in some ways, I don't know, sympathize with the priest and the Levite, see where they're coming from, see how that aligns with me, that I acknowledge a few things. I acknowledge, first of all, that, you know what, they had a job to do that was given to them by God, and it's an important job, a job that came from Scripture itself. Some of those regulations then, if you were a priest or a Levite and you carried out this work of conducting worship on behalf of God in the temple, they had all these rules to follow, rules that had to keep them ceremonially pure and clean. One of those rules said they could never come in contact and touch physically a dead body or a body that was so injured or so maligned that it would be, as the parable describes here, the man who's half dead because he's been beaten and robbed on the side of the road. So for the priest and the Levite to have stopped and done something to help that man who was there on the road would have meant that they would have been forfeiting their purity, their ceremonial cleanliness. They would no longer then be able to go to the temple to do the duties that they had to do until they went through all of the rituals to become pure and clean once again. They had to make a choice. A choice in that moment, what's more important right now? What's the thing that I need to do right now? My entire life as a priest or a Levite has been a life that says my priority, my job, the thing that was given to me as the task to do by God in Scripture was to get to the temple worship. And so I follow all the rules to do that and to do that correctly and to do that well. For me to stop in this moment and help this guy by the side of the road means I forfeit that. It means I cannot go join those people who gather for worship. There's a bit of a story coming here in which a choice has to be made. A choice about which is more important, helping this guy who's by the side of the road or getting to church. What's more important in that moment? The way Jesus tells his story, getting it right for that moment or getting to church. The priest and the Levite pass on by. They keep going about their way to get to where it is that they go to do what they do, to be worshiping with God's people in the temple. The story then comes as a way that maybe presents that detour for us, a detour in which we have to look at those parallels between the priest and the Levite and us today who are part of the church, and we have to ask that question, which one is more important, right? Going out of our way to help those who are maybe in that place of being vulnerable or getting to the place where we are so accustomed to going, that place that is such a natural expression of our faith in how we live because it's the way we've always done it. There's a question there for us. A question, but one that maybe presents us with something of an opportunity. Something in that detour that maybe needs to ask, is there a place here where our direction of faith can be adjusted? Adjusted in a different way? Is there a spot in this story where maybe we look at how we live our faith and say, is there something that we can adjust in this moment? Jesus told this story then not as a way of saying that any of those things that the priest and the Levites do are bad. We shouldn't walk away to say that. We shouldn't walk away from this and say, you know what, all the things that we do as expressions of our faith, those things aren't necessarily bad things. Right? Gathering as a church is a good thing. Having those places where we come together and volunteer and participate all together in the ministry of God's church, that's a good thing. In fact, that's something that Scripture tells us we ought to do. So it's not like we're making a choice between the good thing and the bad thing. We've got two good options here. But you get a choice along the way. Sometimes when you have those options of where is my faith being adjusted, rerouted to find some expression in this moment, at this time. And the question comes then, the question is, could it be more important right now? Could it be that getting this moment right is more important than, well, getting back to church? I know, that's a touchy subject right now. It's kind of a touchy subject to talk about getting back to church because it's what we all want. We know we want it. And we're acknowledging here today that, you know what, that's a good thing to want that. But we have detours, roadblocks in the way, things taking us in a different direction. A couple weeks ago, I took a trip for a day up to Pentwater, and on my way up there, as I'm going along, there's road construction on US 31 in Muskegon. So as I'm approaching Muskegon, the GPS on my phone, which tracks the traffic, tells me to get off the highway, go into town, go through the roads of Muskegon. Not the route that I had planned on going, but a reroute that came along the way. And I have to admit, my first reaction was a bit of resistance. My plan was to go straight up the highway, but I resisted a bit of, do I really want to get off the highway and go through these back roads and then get back on again? That's not what I was planning to do. Do I really want to adjust my course to do that? Well, I did. I followed it, and I went through the streets of town and got back on the highway a little bit north of Muskegon and could see over the highway bridge as I was getting back on that, yep, there was traffic backed up as far as I could see all the way back to the I-96 merge over there. A reroute that I had not planned on, that I was not looking for, and that I admit I was a bit hesitant. Do I really want to do that route or not? But as it turns out, it was for the best. We consider that today then. Some of those opportunities, some of those detours that come along the way, detours that in some ways we didn't have much choice about, but maybe ask the question, is there an opportunity and a moment here to reroute the direction of how I live my faith that can be for the best? We ask that about how we do that. So, a couple of questions that will help us do that. If you have signed up to be a part of one of our August gathering groups, these are questions that will help you as you find places to gather and discuss that with groups later in this week. The first question I want to ask is this, that when has there been a time in your life when somebody has gone out of their way to help you? Let's start there. Let's start there because we need to acknowledge, first of all, that we are people who all live in a place where we need God to come rescue us. That when we think about how we live as people in the church and all the things that we do as people in the church, all of the ways that we express our faith and how we use the talents and the gifts and the abilities and the resources that God has given to each one of us, we do that in ways where we have to first come and acknowledge, I need God. That I am the one who is in need of rescuing. I'm the one who's in need of help. That God is the one who comes and saves and rescues me. We begin with that. So think about a time when maybe that has taken some expression. When someone else has gone out of their way to help you when you were in a time of need. And maybe it cost them something to do that. Right? In this story of the Good Samaritan, it cost that Samaritan something personally of his time and his effort and even his own money to help that guy on the side of the road. When has there been a time in your life when someone has gone out of their way to maybe do something like that for you so that you remember once again that, yes, we are also on the receiving end of being helped, rescued by God himself? So we start by remembering what it's like to be in that place. Then let's move on and talk about a detour. What does that detour look like? I'm going to call this one a level one detour. Level one meaning it's something that comes in front of us as a roadblock, a detour that we did not have a choice about. We had to adjust course one way or the other. So back in March, when everything shut down, we all had to adjust course in some way or another. Whether it meant finishing school online or having to work remotely from your job or being isolated away from family and friends, we all adjusted course. Here's how an opportunity of a level one detour like that takes place. What we did here at this church then at that time is we run a food pantry out of here that runs out of one of our rooms in the back, and we saw a tremendous increase in need that up to 100 times the amount of food was going out of here. Things that we could not handle out of that little room. So we made a choice. We made a detour. We did a reroute. A reroute in which we said, let's take the lobby of the church building and turn it into a food warehouse. So we had stacks and stacks of canned goods and boxes of dry goods and tables lined up with all these things and packaging them all together so that we could handle the amount of food that we needed coming in and then going out to run our food pantry. We did that in the lobby. The lobby, a room in this church that the intent of that room, the design and the purpose of that room is supposed to be for gathering people together. That's the place where normally for us in this church on a Sunday morning, it's where we connect and talk and chat and catch up with friends and meet new people. We do that in the lobby. It's supposed to be the place where we all get together. But we did a reroute. We're not going to use this room as a place of gathering together anymore. For the time being, we're going to use this as a food warehouse so that we can help the people in need. It was a moment when we were faced with that detour and said, we are going to reroute, repurpose a place where normally we gather together, and instead, we're going to use it to help hungry people. We asked the question, which was more important right now, to get this moment right or to get these people back together in this room? And we decided that there was an opportunity to express the way we live our faith in this world in a different direction, that use that room for a different purpose. How has a moment like that come to you in your life? Where have you had opportunity in the last 3 or 4 months to face that adjustment of the course of how you express and live your faith, to reroute that in a different direction for the moment that you found yourself in? What does that look like for you? That's that level one detour. But then I want to finish with this. What about a level two? A level two detour, and I'm going to call the level two detour this, that it's an opportunity that maybe you had a choice, you had the option, right? In that first example, it was something that was thrust upon us whether we wanted it or not. But where has there been an opportunity in front of you, maybe in front of you right now, to adjust the course of your faith for the moment in which God has placed you in right now? And you know what? It's completely up to you. You've got the choice. There's no roadblock in the way. There's no backed up traffic. You could just keep zipping right along on the path that you're on, except there's an opportunity to maybe adjust and go elsewhere and do different and to find that expression. What does that moment look like for you? You know, in one of the ministries that we do here, the life skills class that takes place, it seems like we're always looking for mentors, people who will volunteer to mentor their time. And it's one of those adjustments in a course of faith that I hear people talk about. That people, when they volunteer to be a mentor, maybe their first reaction, their first inclination is to say, I never really thought of myself as the mentoring type. I'm just not sure that's for me. I'm not sure that's really the route that God wants me to go on. I'm hesitant, resistant against going that way. But here's the thing. When I talk to those people who do volunteer their time to be a mentor and to meet somebody in that time of need, in that place of need to do that, I never hear anyone tell a story that says they regret it. Never has any one of those mentors come back and said, that was the wrong choice. I shouldn't have done that. I should have just stayed on the path I was going on. No. Every single one of those mentors in that moment faced that choice, that moment, and said, I'm going to reroute to do this, to help somebody out in this time, in this way. And every single one of those people who have done that have said, it turned out to be the right thing, the better thing. It's not that I had a choice between doing the right thing or the wrong thing. They were all good choices, but this one turned out to be an adjustment, a detour, a reroute that was for the better thing. Where is there a moment or an opportunity in front of you right now to reroute like that? To find that opportunity in the moment that God has placed you in right now? We need to acknowledge and remember that Jesus came along as someone who rerouted from his glory in paradise to come here, to be on earth, to live like we never could in a perfect way, to reroute on a journey that took him to the cross so that we could have new life with him. And we face those moments of rerouting as well, so that we can help others and grow in our faith. Let's pray together. God, thank you for the way that you come to us, ways that maybe we don't always anticipate or see coming, ways that force us to consider how we might reroute along the way. But God, thank you that when you do that, that you show us maybe not always that choice between the good and the bad, between choices that all seem good, how we can best follow you. So, Lord, we pray today that as we consider how to do that, that you would show us the opportunities that are before us, that you would show us the people who you place in front of us who are in need, and that we would follow you then in ways that build us up in faith, that redirect us to follow you the best that we can. We pray this in the name of Jesus.